Okay, today is June 18th, 20th day of the month of Sivan. This is the women's Chumash here in the middle of Parshas Noach. Okay, Rabotai. We are up to Bereshit, Perek Vav. Pasuk Dalud. HaKadosh Baruch Hu had told Noach initially to take two of every animal and every bird, two. And then, we read last week in Perek Zayin Pasuk Bet, he told him to take seven. So the way Rashi understood it was seven for the Korbanot, two simply to allow each species to reproduce after the Mabul. So we're going to continue now with Pasuk Dalid and see how Noach enters the Teva. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is speaking and telling him, I want you to enter the Teva. You, your wife, and your children and their wives. And then, here is what's going to happen. Ki li yamim od shiv'a anochi mamtira ala aretz. Because in 7 days, it's going to start raining. Arba'im yom v'arba'im laila. It's going to rain for 40 days and 40 nights. Umachiti, and I will eliminate, eradicate, wipe out, et kol hayikum asher asiti, every living creature that I made, me'al p'nei ha'adamah. V'ya'as Noach, k'chol ha'shetzivo Hashem. Noach did exactly what he was commanded to do. So, there are two things that have drawn the interest of Parshanim and Midrashim in this particular pasuk, Ki liyamim od shiv'a, as well as the significance of Arba'im yom v'arba'im laila. So as always, we start with Rashi. Take a look at Rashi. Ki liyamim od shiv'a. The question which everybody is concerned with is why does HaKadosh Baruch Hu say, okay, I want you to enter now, because in 7 days it's going to start raining. He already had told him initially that, after X amount of time, it's going to start raining. He already told him that. What was the amount of time that he had given him, at least according to Rashi, how many years? 120 years he gave him. So what's this 7 day additional time? So Rashi says, Elu Zayin Yemei Evlo Shel Mitu Shela Chatzadik Shechas HaKadosh Baruch Hu Al Kvodo V'Ikev Et HaPuranut. According to Rashi, the time to enter the Teva had already arrived. The 120 years had expired. Well, if the 120 years have expired, why doesn't it start raining? Let's get moving. Go into the Teva, because today it's going to start raining. Answer, God delayed it another 7 days. Why? Because somebody died. Who died? Mitu Shelach. We read about him in the end of Parshat Bereshit. He is the person, according to the Chumash, who lived longer than anybody else, at least according to the text, 969 years. And he was considered a righteous individual. He dies on this particular day. HaKadosh Baruch Hu decided to delay the Mabul an additional 7 days. Ki liyamim od shiv'a. Due to the fact that the world was mourning the death of Mitu Shelach, so says Rashi. Say v'chashov shnotav shel Mitu Shelach. Go calculate the number of years awarded to Mitu Shelach, v'timtza, and you will discover shehem kalim, they end bishnat tafresh shana l'chayei Noach. When Noach was 600 years old, that's when Mitu Shelach died. Now we know that Noach was 600 years old when the Mabul started. We don't know exactly when his birthday was, but Rashi is putting the two and two together. That the 7 days refers to the fact that Mitu Shelach dies on this day, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu decides to wait an additional 7 days. And Rashi just emphasizes that in the next Rashi. Ki liyamim od shiva, in another 7 days. Another 7 days. Mahu od? Zman achar zman. One time had already lapsed, now there is a second deadline. Zen nosaf al kuf chaf shana. This is in addition to the 120 years that he had granted preparation to build the teva, so that people will have an opportunity to what? To reform their way, and so on and so forth. So learns Rashi. Yes?
Was it a chesed to Metushelach to die before the flood?
You could say that he should not have to witness that. Or what other conclusion would you have to reach? Okay, so if he was a tzaddik, so then what should have happened? Well, he should have been put into the teva, or he should have died, one of the two. So apparently HaKadosh Baruch Hu had such high regard for him, didn't want to have to oppress him to the conditions of the teva, and said, you know what? Let him die, exactly. Let him die now. Could have, you know, if he lived 969, he could have lived 970. You know, but let him die 969. Let's take care of him and cut.
He had no descendants.
What?
He had no descendants.
No what? Descendants. He did have descendants, but they apparently were killed with everybody else, because the Torah tells us who he was, who descendants were. Now, this is of course a midrash. What is the simple pshat if somebody asks you to explain the pasuk? Al pi pshat, no midrashim. What is ki liyamim od shiva? What is the simple pshat in relationship to the 120 years?
An extra 7 days.
What?
An extra 7 days.
No.
That's the last 7 days of the 120.
Exactly. If it's going to start raining in exactly 120 days, 120 years. It's going to take time to load up this teva. It's going to take lots of time. You're dealing with hundreds, maybe thousands of animals. You have to have food for them and your family. This is a massive undertaking. So he can tell him, you know what? You know, he didn't tell him 120 years ago, well, it's going to be a Wednesday at 12:30. You know, 120 years means approximately, well, now he's giving him the 2-minute warning. Right? You know what the 2-minute warning is. 2-minute warning. Here is what's happening. That's it. Get ready. That's the simple pshat. You don't need mitushelach. 7 days. In another 7 days is when the mabul is going to come. End of discussion. That's the simple pshat. Rashi quotes one midrash. There is a set. Yeah.
Doesn't it say though previously that Hashem gave him all the instructions to load the animals, load the food, you need this much, and he did it. He already did it.
No. That's what Rashi is going to say in 2 seconds, that when it says in Pasuk Chaf Bet, Perek Vav, Pasuk Chaf Bet, Vaya'as Knoach Kechol Asher Tziva Oto Elohim Kein Asah, that is only that he built the Teva and had everything ready. Now when it says that Noach does it, take a look at Rashi, just take a peek ahead, Pasuk Hei Vaya'as Noach, look at Rashi says, Pasukei, Zebiato Elateva. So every time that he goes to a stage, it says Vayasna Kechol Asher Tziva. So Rashi, in effect, is asking, what to say 5 times. So the first time is he built the teva. Now he went into the teva. Then there's going to be another time, 2 psukim later, it says he did everything that God said again. Rashi will have to comment again. So simple, you're right, but that's how Rashi interprets it. Yes?
It's also human nature. When you're given a certain amount of time to do something, your body dying the whole way, and then all of a sudden you go, oh God, I got 10 minutes left. And
yeah. Yeah, that's true. That is true. That's true. Yes?
Don't you think psychologically for the people to see him getting on the table with all the animals before the rain, it had a little bit of an effect?
Yes, no doubt. So that will be another interpretation. Another interpretation is, namely, that the 120 years had expired. And it should have started raining right there and then. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, you know what? I'll give him another chance. I don't know 120 years, 7 more days. And this time, it is even more demonstrative. Not only is Noach building the Teva, but what will everybody around him see? He's going into the Teva. So, and they comment based on the Pasuk, which we recite frequently on Yom Kippur, occasionally on Rosh Hashanah, when you take out the Torah on Yom Tov, and it's the very essence, the Ikar of Slichot, Hashem, Hashem, Kel Rachum V'Chanun. First he is Erech Apayim, slow to anger. That's the 120 years. Very slow to get angry. But after that is Rav Chesed. So after the 120 years, he still doesn't punish. Because he says, you know what? I'll give him another extension of 7 days. So some claim that the Kili Yamid had nothing to do with the death of Metushelach. It is another signal of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that he is prepared to give a second extension, that which we don't, we always fall into that trap. Because if you don't execute your threats become meaningless. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, you know what? I said it's going to happen after 120 years. I'll give him another chance, but I'm going to give it a seven-day window. Seven-day window, that's what Kili Yamim Od Shiva is. A second chance, emphasizing that God is not only Erech Apayim, but also Virav Chesed. There is a powerful, powerful midrash found in Vayikra chapter 7. If you open up to Vayikra chapter 7 for just a second, I'll give you the exact pasuk. Vayikra chapter 7. That's actually chapter 8. Yes. It is Machdir of Parshas Tzav, Pasuk, what's that? 32. 33. Umipetach ohel moed, lo teitzu shivat yamim, Ad yom melot yemei milu lechem, ki shivat yamim mimalei etchem. Everybody have that?
Good.
This is talking about the training period of Aharon and his children. There was a 7-day dedication period, training period, and on the 8th day, which is the next parsha, vayinhi bayom hashmini, that's when the Mishkan was officially dedicated, on the first day of the month of Nisan. So the simple, simple, simple pshat of the 7 days is that you need training. You can't just become a Kohen and expect to walk into the Mikdash on the first day of Nisan and expect to know what to do. No. So they had an intense training course for 7 days. During those 7 days, they didn't go home. Umipetach ohel moed lo teitzu ad until that day. In fact, the Mishnah in Masechet Yuma, first Mishnah, tells us that every single year on an annual basis, Shivat Yamim Mafrishin, Kohen Gadol Mibeito, 7 days before Yom Kippur, meaning starting on the 3rd day of the month of Tishrei, every year the Kohen Gadol was taken away from his family and brought to the Mikdash. He had to stay there, and they had a training, a refresher course. Because the Kohen Gadol did the Avodah Yom HaKippurim from beginning to end. A whole year the Kohen Gadol didn't have to do anything except bring a Korban Mincha every single day. So after he brought his little fowl offering, he could go to the Yankee game, whatever he wants, do whatever he wants. Go visit people, say, go learn, do whatever he wants. On Yom Kippur he had to do everything, and it was a lot of work. So as a refresher course, they used to have Shivat Yamim, 7 days. That's the simple pshat.
It's also
what?
It's like a tahara. It's a status change.
Good. No doubt. Yes. To some extent. No doubt. No doubt. However, says the Midrash, there is an episode described at the beginning of chapter 10 of Sefer Vayikra. Take a peek at Perek Yud of Sefer Vayikra. take a peek, and how the Midrash will put it together, and then make reference to our Kiliyamim Od Shiva. It's far from the Pshat as you possibly can be, but a Medrash is often far from the Pshat. The beginning of chapter 10 of Sefer Vayikra. What is the topic in it? Who? The death of Nadav and Avihu. Correct. Says the Midrash. Aharon and his sons were told to spend 7 days, particularly Aharon, mourning the anticipated death of his two children. That's what the Medrash says. That Aharon is being told 7 days before that his children are going to die. Two of his children are going to die. The Medrash says that God did not tell him which two are going to die, and that now he shall engage in mourning for his two children.
Who were
still alive.
And who are there.
Who are there, standing right in front of him. Oh, hold on. Open up now to Vayikra chapter 21. And the Medrash will try to tell us why would HaKadosh Baruch Hu do such a bizarre thing. It is Pasuk 11, Pasuk Yud Aleph. You can start at Pasuk Yud. The beginning of the Parsha of chapter 21 of Sefer Vayikra is specific guidelines for Kohanim. The Pasuk and the Torah begins with the story, with the Emor El HaKohanim. There are directives to all of the Kohanim. Now in Pasuk Yud, verse 10, specific to the Kohen Gadol. V'ha-kohen ha-gadol me'echa, asher yitzak al-rosho shemen ha-mishcha. Okay, what does the Torah say in Pasuk Yud Aleph? He's never allowed to be a Tami Lameis,
even for his mother and father.
That's exactly what the Medrash is going to say. Aharon is not permitted to be mitame lameis. So when his father and mother pass away, he can't go to the cemetery. Every other Kohen is allowed to be mitame, not only allowed to, they must be mitame lameis for the seven relatives. Father, mother, son, daughter, brother, sister, and spouse. They must. All other people of Israel, all Israelites, are not obligated to be mitameh. You don't have to be mitameh lameis. We should, but you don't have to. Not a mitzvah. A Kohen must be mitameh lameis for those Shiva Kroivim. Must. A regular person, you know, if the Chevra Kadisha will do the Tahara, and the Chevra Kadisha will do the burial, okay, he'll sit Shiva after that. But he doesn't have to be mitameh lameis. A Kohen has to become tameh. Kohen Gadol is never allowed to be mitameh himself. Says the Midrash, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to give Aharon a chance to what? To born, to be mit'abel for his children. Because the Kohen Gadol is never supposed to engage in a state of avelut. He's always considered omeid lifnei Hashem. Always in the presence of God. Always in the presence of God. And here's a chance. So he's being told, according to the Medrash, strange, that two of his children are going to die, and therefore, mipetach ohel moed lo teitzu shivat hayamim. Don't leave the Almighty. I want you, in effect, to go through a mock shiva without telling any of your children what you're doing.
How do we know from the pasuk?
It's not the don't ask the pasuk. Pasuk has got nothing to do with this. Zero. Who would like to be creative and tell me how the Midrash is going to relate it to our pasuk? How will the Midrash relate it to our pasuk, Mrs. Tfowski? So tell me what. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is being mit'abel 7 days before he kills everybody. You know what? Liyamim od shiva. Exactly. Liyamim od shiva. God says, before I actually eliminate this world, I'm going to sit mourn every person who I created, every single human being. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu sets up a shiva for himself before he actually experiences the act of death. And that's what the Midrash claims Aharon does 7 days before Nadav and Abihu die. Hence, Umipekach Ohel Moed Lo Teitzu Shiva Kayamin. Here too, HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells us, Kili Yamim Od Shiva, in 7 days. It was supposed to start right now. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu is being mit'abel in advance for the people he is about to kill. About to kill. So I tell you, it's a profound idea. Profound idea. Because it does say something of our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There is a very famous statement attributed to Rabbi Yochanan, where Rabbi Yochanan says, it's quoted all over, Kol makom shegoleh shechina, shegoleh Am Yisrael, goleh shechina imahem. Wherever Am Yisrael will be exiled, the shechina joins us in the exile. As it states, we say this every Shabbat morning, we say this paragraph as well, at a Levaya, Yoshe B'Seser Elyon, the last pasuk reads, Imo Anochi Batsarav. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I join you in your suffering. So if there is an exile of the people, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Kavayacha, whatever that means, experiences exile as well. If there is death taking place, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is mit'abel over his loss, just as a human being would experience a sense of mourning over the loss of a relative. So this particular Midrash, it's recorded in the Midrash, in Parshat Tzav, and there it makes the reference to what's happening here. Yeah. Yeah.
There's a small booklet.
Right. When did these took and said?
If you're with somebody who's a real estate.
Oh, okay.
The minute you finish the whole
Then you say this passage. Then you say you should say so. Okay. Very nice. Yes. Good. Very good. Yes. Yes.
Why couldn't Hashem mourn after they died? Why did he have to mourn?
Okay, it's a good question. Good question. Why doesn't he mourn before, after they die, like everybody else? It's a good question. What is that? Very possible. That's very nice. It's very nice. Very nice. Yeah. Yeah. Now, based on the Midrash, which Rashi quotes, the Midrash, Rashi doesn't quote this, says there is something in the text that tells me that Mishum Shelach died. Rashi doesn't quote this. Look back at Pasuk Aleph of this Perek, Perek Zion, Pasuk Aleph, and please make an inference which will now tell me, oh, this is Shelach died today. Yes, go right ahead, don't be afraid.
He said that Noah was righteous in this generation.
He owed Ha righty. You're the only one left. What about Mr. Shelach? Ah, owed Ha righty. Today I know this, you're the only side of the room. So last week when we had reference to that pasuk, we said it was to the exclusion of whom? His children and his wives and their wives, that they were neshkin grois amalach, they were not great tzaddikim. But the Midrash actually carries on and says that, no, how did the Midrash come up with this idea that Mishum Shelach dies today? Because it says, Otcha ra'iti, today, you're the only tzaddik left. No one else is around who is identified as a tzaddik.
How do you reconcile that with the Pasuk in Parshat Noah.
We asked that you asked that last week.
No.
Yes, you did.
I did.
You did.
Am I that old?
You asked that last week.
I know, but
and I don't have an answer for that.
Well, it's a good question.
It is. I said I don't have an answer last week, and nothing's changed.
No, but I didn't realize that Michelle was still alive. If he says you're the righteous, you're righteous in your generation.
Right.
I could have reconciled that and said Michelle is not in the same generation as Noah.
Correct.
But now he's saying it again. How does that prove that Mitchell died? If he said it once, and now the time has passed, and he said it again.
Okay, so
now I'm asking in relation to Mitchell.
Okay, that's a good question. I don't know. I don't have an answer for that either. I don't know.
Could you ask that? Could you add that to your list?
Yes, certainly can. No doubt. Yes.
Come back to this.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's in terms of Kili Yamim Od Shiva. Anochi mamtir al ha'aretz. And just to show you that the Kohen Gadol, you know, how far that halacha goes, that a Kohen Gadol is always supposed to be considered as if he is in the service of God and never permitted to, leave his post, sort of to say. There is an interesting halacha quoted by the Rambam that if an ordinary Kohen were to wear his bigdei kehuna, his priestly garments, any time outside of the Mikdash, not in the service of the Mikdash, he is to be put to death. Put to death. Chayav Misa. Misa bidei shamayim. Not by betin, but Misa bidei shamayim. If a Kohen wears his priestly garments outside of the framework of the Mikdash, Kohen Gadol is allowed to wear his Kohen, if he goes to a ball game, he's allowed to wear his Bigdei Kohuna. And the answer, questions, everybody asks why. So the Rambam says, because there is one garment that he is wearing that constantly is acting in the service of all of Am Yisrael. And that is the tzitz. The gold band around his head, which contains two words, Eishikris, Aret Pituchei Chotam, carved in Kodesh Lashem. And the Gemara tells us that when the Kohen wears that, it seeks atonement on behalf of Am Yisrael for Tum'at Mikdash, Tumas Mikdash, the Kodeshav. One of the major concerns of halacha, and there are not going to go through the 5,500 halachot about people entering into the Mikdash during a state of ritual impurity. Now, today it's hard for us to imagine people getting crazy about it, because it's practically irrelevant whether you're tameh or tahor today. But in the Beit HaMikdash, that was the foundation. The Mikdash is a Makom Tahara, and anybody who had any type of Tuma whatsoever was barred from parts of the Mikdash. Various different parts. That's why if you go on tours in Yerushalayim, Ir David, what do you find in every single house? There's a mikveh in every single apartment. Every single apartment. Because Tumah and Tahara was a very important halacha. When they want to illustrate Jewish education during a certain time period, so they write that during Chizkiyahu HaMelech, every child, Midan, that's in the north, Ad Be'er Sheva, knew all of Seder Taharot. Seder Taharot. We barely learn Seder Taharot today. So a Kohen is he's always in a state of avodah, and hence he cannot be metame lemeis, because tumah can't exist with the kohen in the midst of his service unto HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Since when he wears that tzitz, he is seeking atonement. Don't ask me how, but tumas mikdash v'kadoshav. So therefore, a Kohen Gadol is always on his job. So even if he's sitting at a ball game, he's allowed to wear his Bigdei Kohuna, not so with an ordinary Kohen. So that's what this Midrash associates the two ideas with our Pasuk. Yes?
What if he sits next to someone who's coming?
sitting next to anybody doesn't make you tummy. Doesn't make you tummy. Unless he happens to be in a room where somebody passes away. So what he has to do is charge out. There is, anyone who's ever been in Shari Tzedek Hospital, there is a Kohanim alert. When they know that somebody passes away in Shari Tzedek, they ring this alert, and all Kohanim check out of the hospital.
Close the doors.
What?
They close all the doors.
Right, so
right.
Yeah. Okay, that's one number that is important to this particular pasuk. Then there is a second number that's important in this pasuk. Yes, Arba'im Yom. So take a look at Rashi. Does Rashi, let me see, Rashi. Yeah, Rashi says, Arba'im Yom, why dafka 40 days? Why does it rain specifically for 40 days? Says Rashi, Kineged Yitzirat Havlad Shekil Kilo Lahatriach Liotzram Latzor Tzurot Mamzerim. Wow. According to tradition, it takes 40 days from the time fertility takes place for the child to actually be conceived. 40 days for a child to be conceived, according to tradition. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to engage in activity after husband and wife have relations. HaKadosh Baruch Hu now has to engage in 40 days of productive activity to get this child, you know, to become a living creature. Well, he wasted his time. Because what did these children all become? Rashi calls them all what? Mamzerim. Not really technically mamzerim. But if you want to denote a negative connotation about the people, so you call them all mamzerim. So 40 days, it's got to rain to compensate for HaKadosh Baruch Hu that he wasted 40 days creating these children who ultimately transgressed his commands. That's the way Rashi interprets it. And in fact, this 40 days, in many halakhic eyes, is taken pretty seriously. In terms of abortion, many are far more makil if the abortion takes place within the first 40 days than if it's after the first 40 days. Even though from a scientific point of view, there is not much credibility to that distinction. There is not much difference between a 39-day embryo and a 40-day embryo. But the halacha has taken it seriously, and there are many kulas which poskim take advantage of if, you know, they do various testing and they find out that their baby is ill, whatever it is. Under conditions when you allow an abortion, 40 days becomes... So this particular idea is well known in halakhic literature, and Rashi quotes it here. However, there are some other interesting theories as to what the 40 days happens to be. If you take a look, for example, at... Yeah, on the bottom of the Chizkuni, it's on the top, it says page Kuf Gimel. I forgot to label it side one, side two. On the bottom right-hand side, you have the Chizkuni, and he comments, Abon Yom Abon Laila, and he quotes two interpretations. Number one is, Neged Makat Arbaim. Makot Arbaim. If you look at Parshat Ki Teitze, the Torah, when it describes the punishment of makot, lashes, which is given for the overwhelming majority of transgressions, for negative transgressions, even though it's 39, the Torah writes, Arba'im yakenu lo yosif. So, here the Midrash, the Chizkuni says, the 40 days is somehow symbolic of the fact that what? That these people engaged in activities which would have been deserving of the 39 lashes. Of the 39 lashes. That's the imagery. Even though it's 39, but the pasuk says, Arba'im, 40. So you play on the 40. Davar acher, a second interpretation, Al she'avru Torah, shenitna l'Moshe l'arba'im yom. Why 40 days? Because they violated the Torah given to Moshe in 40 days. That's why. So what's the difficulty?
It wasn't given to them.
Secondly, even if it had already been given to them, and you know, many of them, it's 606 have no application to them whatsoever. So it's a difficult read, and but he's saying something, and he in effect is mimicking an idea which Rashi quotes at the very beginning of Sefer Bereishis, which we read already, which the Torah says, Rashi quotes, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, the purpose of my creating the world is to what? To observe the Torah. If you don't observe the Torah, you might as well what? Destroy the entire world. But it's exactly what he's doing here. If you're not going to observe the commandments which you're obligated to observe, he's going to destroy the entire world. So they make this, the Chizkuni makes this equation. Since it is documented in the Midrash that God states, why does he include Ma'aseh Bereshit in the Torah? Why does the Torah begin with the creation of the world? So we all know Rashi's interpretation, because that's what we learn. In order to tell us that Eretz Yisrael belongs to us, that no one can accuse Am Yisrael of being a thief, because we come in after being in Mitzrayim and we take away the land of the Chiti and the Amori and the Kanani. What do you mean taking away? That's theft. No, HaKadosh Baruch Hu created it. He owns it. He says you nations can have it until my children are scheduled to come, and then under those circumstances, you're out of here. So it's not theft. But there are other explanations. Another explanation why it says Ma'aseh Bereishis in the Torah is to let you know that the purpose of creating the world is to bring about a commitment to Torah. If there is no commitment to Torah, then the world might as well be destroyed. Here Chizkuni says, yeah, that's exactly what's happening. The world does not follow his commands, hence the world is going to be destroyed, somehow symbolic of the 40 days which it takes to create, which it took the time to give Moshe the Torah. You know, you could say that as well. Just as valid. No doubt. Yeah. So let's continue the pasuk, because then there is another interesting remark which Rashi makes, which the Radak can't believe that Rashi makes. Says the pasuk, "Vayas Noach kichol asher tzivo Hashem." This is pasuk. Hey, Noach did exactly what HaKadosh Baruch Hu had said. So, we already saw that at the end of Perek Vav, pasuk Chaf Bet. It says "Vayas Noach." So, Rashi here, every single time a stage is reached, Rashi comments, "God said he did what he's supposed to do." First thing was he built the teva, Vayas Noah. This Vayas Noah Kasher Tziva Hashem, says Rashi, is Ze Bi'ato L'teva. That's the fact that he entered the teva. He did that too. And there's going to be a third time where Rashi will quote another interpretation. V'Noach ben Sheish Me'ot Shana V'Hamabel Haya Mayim Al Haaretz V'Yavo Noach Ubanav the Ishto Unashe Banav Ito El Hateva Mipnei Mehamabu. Noach and his children come into the Teva on account of the flood waters.
It's already started.
Exactly. It seems to indicate the pasuk before says that Noach did everything that he was supposed to do. What did he do? What did Rashi just say what he had done? Went to the temple. Had it started raining yet? No. Ah, so now Rashi does it about face. Well, did he really go in? No. He brought all the other things in, all the animals and so on and so forth. But he himself did not yet go in. Says Rashi, take a look at Rashi's comment on Pasuk Zayin. Number one, Noach Ubanav. First of all, Rashi comments that it writes, Noach Ubanav, then Ve'ishto Unashe Banav. Logically, it should have said Noach, his wife, his children, and their wives. So why does it say Noach Ubanav, then Ve'ishto Unashe Banav, says Rashi, Ha'anashim Levad, Vahanashim Levad. Separate sleeping quarters for the men and women. Levi Shine Esru B'Tashmish Hamita B'Pnei Sheho Ulam Haya Sharui B'Tzahar. Since the entire world was suffering, they were not permitted to have marital relations. Therefore, separate bedrooms for the men and women. M'Pnei Mabul. Take a look at Rashi's comment. M'Pnei Meha Mabul. Af Noach Miktane Emana Haya. Mazak Tane. Tane Amuna. Wasn't a real believer. Small believer. Noach wasn't a real believer. Af Noach Miktane Amuna. Ma'amin Ve'eno Mama. He believed and he didn't believe. He had this relationship with God that he obviously believed it, but he didn't really believe that there's going to be a flood to the extent that everybody's going to die. Sheyavo Mabul. Lo nichnas lateva ad shedachku hamayim. He did not actually enter the teva until the waters forced him into the teva. Now, this is a shocking statement of Rashi. Shocking. It is a scathing attack. And it undermines everything that Rashi has said up until now, you know, about Noach. Even if you wanted to say that he was not such a great tzaddik because he didn't influence others. But no one until this point has ever doubted his own tzidkut vis-a-vis himself. We know that he didn't impact anybody else. Therefore, it was only bidorotav. You know, he didn't help anybody else. But to make a statement like this, that he was not much of a believer and he pushed in, is a real statement of undermining Noah. Incredibly undermining. You don't think it's what?
I don't think it's
Yeah. So you build them the haven for 120 years, you bring all the animals in, and then you say he's not going to do it. Okay? Yeah? Yeah?
Maybe the 7 days that Hashem's giving him a second chance, maybe he's hoping that would
wait until the last minute.
Okay, maybe. Good. That's in defense of him. but then you don't have to say he's Ktanei Amanah. You could have said he held out a glimmer of hope that maybe at the very last second people will mend their behavior, and what will happen? They will decide to do tshuva. That would have been a positive way of framing it. But to say that he was less than a firm believer is a powerful condemnation of Mr. Noah. Yeah.
Well, it said he only did what Hashem told him.
What?
He did Hashem.
Okay. So now take a look at the Radak on the bottom of page Kuf Dalet, and he has no defense of Rashi. No defense of Rashi's comment. Let's read what he says. Vayavo Noach. Shiv'a yamim nichnas kodem bo hamabul. Radak is of the opinion that the 7 days don't give me any midrash. Don't give me any midrash about the 7 days. You know what the 7 days is? It's going to take 7 days to load the boat. So what Kodesh Baruch Hu says, in 7 days it's going to start to rain. And when does Noah go in? Sometime during the 7 days. That's all. Very simple. Therefore, Zehu mitnei mehamabu. That's why he went in during the 7 days. Why? Because what's going to happen after the 7 days? It's going to start raining. Why do you want to get wet? So Noah goes into the teva before what happens? Before it starts raining. That's the simple pshat. No nefesh, no passions, no difficulty. Very simple. V'lo yodanu, and I can't understand. Ta'am, the reason. L'divrei ha'omer, midrash, that those who say, according to the midrash, shenoach miktanei amanah haya. That Noach wasn't a firm believer in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Shaharei HaKatuv me'id alav, because the Torah has testified, not once, but several times. Shahaya tzadik tamim ve'asa kichol asher tzivahu Hashem. What else can you want than a description, he did everything that God said? That's normally considered the highest accolade. Vayak aharon ka'asher tziva asher et Moshe. Magid shvachosh shalom shina. That's all we do. Vayas Moshe ka'asher tziva asher. You know how many times that appears in Parshas Vayakel Pekudei? 49 times. That Moshe did exactly what he was told to by every one of the utensils of the Mishkan. All of a sudden here, we're going to belittle it? Says the Radak. I just can't understand what is compelling the Midrash to ignore the Pshat. And that's a question which Pashtanim always ask on the Balei Midrash. There are times when a phrase, a word in the text is difficult. And it's hard to explain it al pi pshat. So the Midrash fills in the blanks nicely. But if there is nothing wrong with the Pshuto Shel Mikra, if it flows beautifully, what bothers you? Why don't you want to say, this is what the intention of the Torah is? Why do you have to look for Midrashic interpretation when the text flows beautifully? Yeah.
If we're comparing Noah to Moshe, at one point Moshe was so disgusted with Bnei Israel, and he begged HaKadosh Baruch Hu, if you're not going to help me in my job,
kill me.
Erase my name from the book.
That's correct.
And Noah did not go to that extent.
That's correct. Okay, but you can't say he was a lack of believer.
I agree with
you. Right. That just shows how far Moshe was willing to appeal to HaKadosh Baruch Hu.
Right, at the risk of his own.
If I am Mechenu Misifrcha Shekasafta, because I don't have anything to do with your book. Yes.
Just Mechenu Mehamabul may be bothering them.
Of course it is. But he answered that with Mehamabul. He answered it. Why did he build the teva? Why did he go into the teva? Not because it's going to happen. Not because it's air conditioned, it's hot. Because it's going to rain. Because he knew that
it went in, those words.
That's exactly what the Midrash, that's exactly what Rashi's bought. He feels that the words are totally superfluous adds nothing. Of course he went in because of the rain. Because that's what our Kodesh Baruch Hu said, it's going to happen, it's going to rain. But nonetheless, a simple reading says to Radak, this is, I don't have to come to such a gross condemnation of Noah simply based on the fact that three words, which are a little difficult, granted, but I can explain the way I'll be shot. Yes?
I think if they're trying to teach how Hashem could be such a wrathful God, they would have been horrible thing as a killer. I think it's really bothering.
Really bothering who? Yeah. Very possible.
So bad.